Our speaker for today is a friend of us from Clinton Spanish Church. Let's welcome to the pulpit, Sister Jennifer Norford.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. When Pastor Victor sent the invitation, I thought that he was confusing the JCs. Let me explain to you. My husband is Johnny Cooper, Jennifer Cooper. And I was like, I hope he meant the other Cooper. But okay, I guess I did all right the last time. And it's a privilege for me to be here with you, sharing the gospel. And I hope that since it's a blessing for me to be here, it could be a blessing for you to hear the voice of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your caring. And thank you so much for choosing me, this broken vessel. Please help me to talk to your church so we can understand what do you want us to hear from you today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today we're gonna talk, remember, whoever didn't listen to me last time, I am not a preacher, I'm a teacher. I like to teach stuff, I like to talk and explain things. That's why you see me with my hands doing this, because I like to explain myself a lot. And today, we're going to talk about something very common topic in a Christian's life. I mean, we've been hearing like the Bible verse, we've been hearing the songs. Do you have a hint what we're talking about today? Oh, that means that you haven't paid attention the whole program. We're talking about prayer today. When I was a little girl, I was thought that the prayer is, do you have an idea? Do you have any comments? What is the prayer for you? I beg your pardon? Speaking, talking to God? I'm sorry? Yes, I didn't hear, but yes. When I was little, I was taught that praying is talking to God as a friend. The way that you could talk to a friend is the same way that you should talk to God. But let's be honest, we don't do that. We like to talk to him like he doesn't know us. The better words that we can find, those are the words that we want to talk to him, because we want to be proper, because we want to present ourselves as a good children of God. And maybe we're not that honest. Maybe we're not that confident. We tell them, oh, how beautiful this day was. But maybe at work, my coworker didn't leave me alone. My boss, my manager, he thought that I was the only employee there, and I got a pile up of work. My children, they really behaved. Everything was chaos. But when I knelt, I said, thank you, God, for this beautiful day. Was it? We treat him as he's not our friend. We come to him with big words that sometimes we don't even mean it. And then we call our best friend, you don't know what happened to me here. We talk to God, thank you for everything, because it's amazing. The minute we stand up, hey, do you have a minute? I need to talk to you. This and this and this happened. But you just told God that it was an amazing day. What happened since you stand up until you got the phone? What happened in these 5 seconds? What happened? Talking to God as a friend. One of the reasons why we should pray is that when we do so frequently, it's to strengthen our relationship with Jehovah. Good friends don't communicate only when they need something, but at any time because they are interested in each other. Friendship strengthens as you freely express your thoughts and feelings. The same thing happens with God. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to who? To you. Jennifer, but I feel that God doesn't listen to me. Praying, brothers and sisters, praying is not a waste of time. Praying connects you. Praying gets you real result. Tell the person next to you, get connected to the source. Come on, mean it. Like you mean it. Prayer will bring you a way when there is no way. Prayer is your war weapon. When you want to see what God can do for you, start praying. God answers you if you are connected to him. There is no way we can listen to God and we don't even consult him. There is no way we can have the results that God intends to give it to you if we don't seek him. How are you going to get something that you are not looking for? Let's all go to Psalms 37, verse 4. Psalms 37, and I'm going to read the verse 4. The Bible said, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. One time, I was so desperate to become a mom. And I was praying and praying and praying, and I was getting frustrated because I wasn't getting what I want. Somebody told me, read Psalms 37 and 4. And it really explained to me, you need to be connected to God. Because we thought that if I do go to church, if I sing, if I preach, if I give my offerings and tithes, God will give me whatever I want. The Bible said that. Oh, no, 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 no. If you are the connected with God and you work and you're walking a line of God's will, your heart will be so connected that your desires will be according to God's plans. And God will grant you the desires of your heart. It's because you are working constantly with him. Somebody said that, let me tell you, and I'm sorry, that I'm translating from Spanish. Let me tell you who you walk with, and I will tell you who you are. Connected to the source. If you connect with God through daily prayer, deep, genuine and honest prayer, your relationship with God will become closer. You will know what God wants for you, and the desires of your heart will be the same desires of God. Connect to the source. But Jennifer, I don't know if it happens to you, but with time seems not to pass when I pray, especially when you are in a rush. You kneel and you start watching, it's 10:30, and you start talking and talking to God and you go deep, 10:31, and you start talking and talking and talking, and you really want to be in connection with the Lord, 10:35. But if you notice, especially women, we take serious time to get ready. Hours and hours and maybe weeks to get ready. We try to know ourselves, the hair, the dress, the shoes, the makeup, whoever wears makeup. If my purse needs to combine with this, don't get me started when we're invited for a special occasion. And the men said that we're never ready. I don't believe that. It's like we need more time to prepare. But we try to take time for the things that we really want. We're trying to get the best dress. We're trying to get the best hairstylish. We want to take the best shoes. And we're trying to prepare ourselves with ahead of time. But it seems that there is no time enough to pray. I am too busy. I need to be at work at 7. I need to prepare breakfast. I need to work. I don't have time. God knows what I want. So I don't need to be connected to the source because God knows me. Do you know God? You have heard about him, but do you know him? What are we doing to get to know God? How much time are we taking to know him? Not to hear about him like we all hear today. Maybe it's accustomed to go to church every Saturday morning. Maybe we had that schedule already. Maybe we're escaping some drama at home and we decide to come to God. Did we choose to come and listen to get to know him? Oh, it's just we're here because that's what I do Saturday mornings. We say we don't have time, but in reality, we make time for things that we care and enjoy. First Chronicles. Let's see what First Chronicles 16, verse 11 said. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face even more. The difference between spending a little time with God is the same as between stopping at a fast food restaurant and enjoying an evening at a restaurant. I'm always in a rush. If there is a difference between my husband and I, it's because I'm always in high speed. He's always like, think things, let's analyze, let's think about it, let's grab a pen, and I am like, let's go, we need to get this, we got with this, my parents is this, my mother-in-law this, and he's like, let's try. And I was like, when? So we go, like I'm always in high speed. I drive, if I am hungry, I go to a restaurant and I yell, I this and this and this. I drive and my food is ready and I go my way. But what did you do when you're going on a date with your significant other? You plan, you go to a nice restaurant, you sit down, and easily 2 or 3 hours you spend in that restaurant. Am I wrong? 10 seconds in the fast food. I need this, especially if, 10 seconds. I need this and this and this. Immediately, you get what you order. In the restaurant, you have to take time, read the menu, talk to the person. Why? Because you want to get to know that person, especially if you're dating. But if you are with your spouse, you want to listen to that, to your spouse. You want to listen to your girlfriend. You want to listen to your, you want to take the time. You forget about everything that is outside. This is me and you time. Have you learned to be in the presence of God and enjoy it? Matthew 6:6 says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sits in the secret will reward you openly. Throughout the Bible, all the stories that we're listening in the Bible, God wants an intimate relationship with you. He created you. He already knows you. So he wants you to know him, to enjoy the time that you are spent with him, to tell the secret. What are plans that you have for me? Please reveal me this. Hey, I'm going to something. The same way you talk to a friend. Have you tried to talk to a two-year-old? I live with one. It's funny things. Gabriela likes books. And every time that she finds a book, she goes to her father. Book. Oh, Johnny gets like, oh, this is the daddy-daughter time. And he, you know, accommodate himself in the seat. And when he opens the book, Gabriela says, bye. And she leaves. All that dream that the daddy-daughter time got crushed. She wasn't interested. Aren't we the same way with God? You bring God your problems or your desires or the things that you want, and you say, here, God. And God is like, oh, my God, this is a daddy-daughter, daddy-son time. And you get distracted with whatever is happening in your life, and you crush that daddy children time. And God has so many things to share with you, so many things to highlight in the Bible, in the book, and whatever you're presenting to him, but you don't have time. You get distracted. Sometimes we treat God like this, exactly how Gabriela tricked her dad. We give it a few rush minutes, and we remember all the things, and we want to cut off the prayer because we want to resolve those things. It happens to me a lot. Sometimes I'm praying, and I remember, oh, my God, I should do this at work, and I should do this, and I should do this. Let me just pray real quick, and let me get going. Our problem is the war of thoughts. Today, I'm going to tell you two prayers, one extremely long and another one extremely short, and they are in the Bible. Don't worry, I'm not going to read word by word the long one. I know that our time is counted. So let's all go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and as soon as I say that, you can understand, or maybe you realize who I'm going to talk about. Do you have any idea? Hannah, 1 Samuel. And those who doesn't know, Hannah was looking, and please forgive me, sometimes I say Anna. Hannah was desiring and praying for a, be with me, it's time to pray for a child. The husband, what's the name of the husband? I know it in Spanish, but you won't understand me. Elkanah, oh, it's the same way. So he had another wife. The wife is, the second wife, what is the name? Peninnah. So Peninnah, the Bible said that Peninnah has a lot of kids, but Hannah didn't have none. And Hannah was saying this, and Peninnah, it looks like she was enjoying this rejection. Like, you don't have kids, but I do have some. So Anna was always constantly praying and asking God, like, please, could you please answer my prayer? Verse 9 and 10. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. Verse 10. And she was a bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. So Hannah went to the church, to the tabernacle, the house of God, God's house. And she was praying. And the Bible said that she was in deeply, like she was praying. She was sad. The Bible continues saying that at one point the priest Eli thought that she was drunk because he was seeing that she was moving her lips, but there was no sounds, there was no words coming out from her mouth. She was just talking. Verse 14 and 15. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." 15. But Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord." Pouring out. So that means when you pour out something, whatever was in was empty. So Hannah emptied her soul. She emptied herself and gave it to God. So how many things, how many years of sorrow or sadness Hannah had that it took it to that point to stay the whole day praying to God, empty herself unto the Lord, pouring out. Verse 17 and 18. Then Eliah answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition with which you have asked of him." 18. And she said, Let your mindset find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So the Bible said that she ate and she was no longer sad. Let me ask you something, church. The moment that Hannah stopped praying, that she finished her prayer, did she get pregnant right away, that instant? Maybe Penina wasn't there anymore. Wasn't she? She was still there. All her kids, did they disappear instantly? So the problem was still there. When she went home, Penina was there. Hannah wasn't pregnant. All the 15 kids were there. So what is the difference? The difference is that she poured out her heart to God. And she's like, "No longer my problem. God is with me." That is the trust that we as Christians, we should have. Pouring out. How many times have you poured out your prayer, your heart, your soul to the God? How many times? And we all know who Samuel was. We all know who he was. Anna's example shows us how we should pray to God. God invites us to speak to him frankly, without reservation. We should really went with him. How we do with our friend and a little son. How we talk to our friend is the same way that we should talk to a God. More frankly, because you're not completely honest friend, aren't you? The Bible said Hannah went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She poured out, she emptied her heart to God. Second prayer. And let's all go to Matthew 14. The book of Matthew. Chapter 14. And here we see all the disciples, and here we see all the disciples in the boat. They were finishing a big day, and they were there in the boat. I'm going to start reading the verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciple get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. So it was a multitude of people, and the disciples went into the sea in the boat. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him, because verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea, and the disciples, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were in trouble, saying, "It's a ghost. Wouldn't you do the same?" I get scared very easily. Don't judge. And imagine yourself, everything is dark. You are, I don't know, on the street, something happened, and you're walking. It's very dark. And you see an image that it appears to be a human, but the human is not walking, it's floating. Wouldn't be you scared, dear brothers and sisters? Absolutely. So they were not wrong to be scared. And these are the disciples who were hand to hand to God, Jesus. And yes, they feel scared too. So, verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid." And Peter, I don't know, but Peter is a very, very colorful personality. He's like, "You know what, if it's you, just ask me to go to you." Oh, dear, Peter. I'm going to you. And Jesus says, "You know what, come." So Peter started walking, and maybe he was like, "Man, this is so cool. I'm walking in water. None of these people, they stay in the boat. So I'm going to be the famous one." He was already famous. "So I'm walking in water." But then the storm came, and the wind came, and Peter started what? He starts sinking. He lost his vision to God. He stopped looking and putting his eyes on Jesus. He starts seeing the storms. He starts seeing the waves. He starts seeing the wind. And he lost his focus on the only one who can make you stand still. He lost his vision up to God. Now, verses 30 and 31st. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, and this is the shortest prayer ever. "Lord, save me." Peter didn't have time to kneel. Where? He didn't have time to kneel. He didn't come up with beautiful words and big words. He didn't say, "God, thank you for this day." He was in the need of help. "God, help me." Do you think that God listens to that kind of prayers? Yes, he does. If you are in a struggle, if you are something, he will be right there. The Bible said, verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you little faith, why did you doubt?" Notice what the Bible said, the word "immediately." The Bible doesn't say, "I don't know how far or how many steps Peter did. I don't know what was the distance between Jesus and the boat." What I know is that immediately Jesus was there to help him. Brother and sister that hears me this morning, it doesn't matter where you are. God immediately, when you said, "God help me," he is right there right there. It doesn't matter. He's not taking time to see your resume. He's not looking like, okay, this morning, did you pray? Did you pray about breakfast? Did you pray? No, 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 no. Right now, God is seeing a child of his in the need. So God is so wonderful and so lovable, Father, that he will drop anything that he's doing to assist you. Just because he loves you, just because he listens to a prayer, just because he is God. It doesn't matter where you are, church. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter right now your present. The minute that you said, God, help me, he is right there. Seeing the faith of his disciple, Jesus uses the power of the Father to make him walk in the restless water. Start walking. Peter has to keep his eyes on home, on Jesus. Like you and me, we need to be focused, our sight, our attention to the Lord. But in the critical moments, we get distracted with mortgage. We get distracted with illness. We get distracted with families. We get distracted I'm getting weight. I'm losing weight. We get distracted for the rejections. We get distracted with everything that this world nonsense is giving us. And we forgot, we tend to forget that there is a God who created the universe and has control of everything. But we like to pay attention to nonsense, to things that they're going to perish when he comes. The only thing eternal is God and the things that he's preparing for you in heaven. That should be our focus. That should be our goal. That should be the way that we should be seeing to Jesus. Everything that this word is giving you, don't have distractions. Everything that this word is giving you are the winds that Peter felt. Are the waves that they were helping him to sink? Do you feel that you're sinking? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And if you cry out and if you pray, Jesus, save me. Man, the Bible says immediately. What is immediately for you? Right away. Right away. There are situations that can make you afraid. But in your pain, suffering, crisis, depth, danger, if you pray, Lord, save me, he immediately stretch out his hand in your favor. He will listen to you. And he will give you peace. Let me ask you something, church. Once Jesus stretched his hand to Peter, did they appear outside the ocean? Were they? They were not. They were still in the water. So the only difference is that Peter knew who he was next to. He knew that he was next to God, that God was next to him. And he knew that Jesus listened to his prayer, that sure, very little sure prayer, and they walked away. Verse 32, and when they got into the boat, look at this. And now I'm realizing this. Jesus saved him. The wind was still coming. Everything was happening until they got into the boat and the wind ceased. Think about this. Think about this when you think about a prayer. You write a letter. You go to the post office. for those that are old school like me, you go to the post office and you are trusting that the post office will deliver the letter, correct? But that's what happened when you pray. God says that he will hear you. Why are you doubting that your prayers are not here? Jennifer, sometimes, you know, I pray and pray and pray. I pray for 11 years to get pregnant. And I see all my friends getting married, all my friends getting pregnant, all my friends having everything. And me, I was getting divorced. I was losing, losing, and losing. But I didn't know that God has another plans for me, way better plans. Have you seen my husband? It's like this. I collect mugs. I like mugs. And I have like a stand full of mugs. Mrs. Gabriela, she learned how to open that. I know. I don't know. I don't know. And she knows that if she pushes, the door will open. So the way that we can find what she's doing is that she grabs two mugs, they're glass, and she clink, 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 clink. It's beautiful. Oh, you guys are saying, oh, but those are my mugs. Gabriela, don't do that. Don't do that. But she's asking, she's praying, why not? That's why she wants to play with the mugs, because they do funny things, clink, clink, clink. In her age, she's not doing nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong about that. But me, I know that she, the clink, 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 she can, the mugs can break, and she can what? She can get hurt. What are you holding that at the end is gonna hurt you, that God is asking you, do not open that stand. And you insist and insist, I want to play with that. God, give me that. I'm praying for it. Why are you telling me no, Mom? I like to play with the mugs. Is God in telling you, you can pray for that, you can ask him for that, but at the end, that is going to hurt you. Sometimes we pray and pray and pray, and we don't like the word no, like Gabriela. This is a venting time, guys. Let me talk to you. She doesn't like to be told no. We don't like it either. Every time, everything that we want to ask God, we want God to say yes. You want $1 million? Yes. You want a car? Yes. Oh, you want this? Yes. But when he say no, God doesn't listen to me. He's mean. He doesn't love me. I used to say that for 11 years. But God has better plans. I was not prepared. If I had what I asked 11 years ago, I would get hurt. He listens to us. He always do. His ears is in our favor. But because he is God, because he's the creator, because he made you, he knows what is best. And he knows the best time to give you what you need, not what you want. What you need. And you know what is the purpose? His glory. If God is telling you, wait, stop dropping things, stop dropping those mugs, stop dropping things that's gonna hurt you, because what is coming is big. Be ready to have your hands open and available, because right now God is shaping you. Right now, we're all 2 years old like Gabriela. We like to play with the mugs. Let God be the God and wait on him. He always, always, always listens to your prayer. Listens to your prayer. connect to the source. Let's read two more verses, and that will be the end of this morning. Let's go to Psalms chapter 55. Verse 22. In this verse, I want everybody to really find it and make it yours. Psalms 55, 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Can you say amen to that? Matthew 11. Matthew 11, chapter 28 to 30. I'm still hearing Bibles, and I'm going to start when I make sure that everybody has it. Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, chapter 11. Verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Aren't you tired? It's enough. It is enough. Let's give it to him. He knows better than us. 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your soul. 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Connect to the search, to the source, church. Connect to the source through prayer. God listens to you. He's not a God who ignores. He's not a God made by handmaids. No. He's a king. And we all his children. Whatever your prayer is, maybe you have 2 days praying for it, 2 months praying for it, 11 years. He knows what is best. Maybe in your hands are stuff that you don't want to let go. And God is telling you, do not open that stand. Those mugs are going to hurt you. Let it go. Let it go. Do you want to keep trusting in God? Let's stand and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your church. We are here, God, asking you to please continue listen to our prayers. And help us to connect with you through prayer. This is the weapon, the war weapon that you left us to keep be connected to you. But we're so distracted in everything that this word is giving us. And we tend to forget who you are. And you are our friend, our God, our Father. We understand that you listen to our prayers. Help us to let go whatever is trying to hurt us. Help us to let go whatever is occupying the place of the blessing that you want to give us. They're much better. And the things that we want to hold to is hurting us, but we don't want to let it go. Give us strength. Give us wisdom. Father, this is your church. Please forgive our sins, Lord. And when you come back, save us. We want to see you and say thank you. Thank you so much for your love and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.